Welcome to episode 3 of season 4 of the Bad Apples. This is Klaatu. This show is about Linux and about geeky stuff, and in this episode specifically, we're going to be talking about Unix porn. We're going to be talking about the Southeast Linux Fest, which is right around the corner. We'll talk about the Git version control system, which is the versioning control system that's being used by the Linux kernel and I think Qt and lots of other neat projects. We'll talk about some Audacity power user tips, so stay tuned. Basically, this is probably going to be a little bit of a shorter show than other shows, simply because I wanted to make sure I got something out before I left for the Southeast Linux Fest, which is just around the corner, as I've said. I'll just have some random things, and then that'll probably be it. So the first random thing on my list is unixporn.com, which if you've listened to this show, if you know me in IRC, you probably already know about Unix porn. It's just first of all, it's not porn, it's Unix. Actually, it's not porn, it's Linux, but linuxporn.com wasn't available. But it's just my site where me and a lot of other people now are posting screenshots of their desktop, just so that we can look at other people's Linux desktops. It's just kind of neat to see what other people have on their screen all day. Yeah, if you want to join and post a screenshot, you're certainly welcome to. But sort of a sub project on that I've kind of started in my spare time is a CD archive, which is just... I've scanned in the covers of various CDs and DVDs that you know, magazines or companies or whatever have sent out or have sold or whatever of Linux distributions. And the reason I think this is interesting is, well, number one, it's just I like this kind of thing on a graphic design level. I like to see what people come up with for labels for really something that doesn't have a central, doesn't necessarily have like a central sort of official design, you know? I mean, some projects like Fedora or Ubuntu, they have official CDs that they do ship out or that they send out or whatever. So they have their official DVD design. But other distributions may really not have like an official design for their cover, like Backtrack or even Debian. I don't know that they have official Debian DVDs. So it's kind of neat to see what people come up with. And if you think about your own desk, you know, you might have burned ISOs lying around. And, you know, if it looks like mine, I mean, it's just a CD and in Sharpie marker, just, you know, whatever the name of the distro is. It's kind of cool then to see an actual, like, quote-unquote official-looking CD. And so I'm scanning these in and posting them under the username CD Archives. That's CD Archives, all one word, all lowercase. And if you want to scan in some that you think are cool, you're certainly welcome to do so and post them. And if you want to put them under the same username, you're certainly welcome to do that. And in fact, I encourage you to do that. That way they're all in one location. And that would be CD Archives is the username, and the password is Klaatu, Klaatu, all lowercase. So just log in as CD Archives and use the password Klaatu and just start uploading your disk images. I scanned them in, did a quick little circular marquee in GIMP and deleted the background and then inserted my own, like, I think it was a 50% gray or maybe 80% gray background. But you're certainly welcome to do whatever you think is best or easiest or fastest. So check that out if you get a chance, unixporn.com. There's a joke warning when you first get to the page. Just click OK and enter. It's safe for work. It's safe for everything. The porn part is a complete joke. And yeah, check out the CD archive if you want, and certainly add to it if you feel like it. SELF, that is Southeast Linux Fest, is getting very, very close. It is a couple of days away at this point. Now, I have volunteered at SELF this year, so I'll be helping out, as I understand it, in the sponsor and exhibit hall. Of course, festivals are hard enough to organize and manage that usually, at least in my experience, when someone volunteers for one thing, you know, quite often they're used for something else, either instead of or in addition to what they said they would do. So I may or may not actually be there all the time, and you don't know. But apparently I'll be in the sponsoring exhibit hall, hanging out, helping out there. I should be fairly easily spotted. I'm a I have blue hair, and I guess I'll be in like a Southeast Linux Fest t-shirt, because the reason I volunteered was the free t-shirt. So say hi to me. I'm a friendly guy, sometimes a little bit shy, although since I'm volunteering, I'll feel more official, so I'll probably be a little bit less shy. So definitely say hi to me. Yeah, let's chat or whatever. If you want to do a Birds of a Feather meeting for any reason, if you can think of one, let me know. I've been trying to think of one. I just really can't. I was thinking of maybe like a Linux Cranks Birds of a Feather, like anyone who listens to the Cranks, or a Linux Podcasters Birds of a Feather. But I have a feeling it's all going to be a little bit redundant. It's a one-day fest. I think people are going to kind of meet up anyway and chat as if though it was a Birds of a Feather meeting. There is a GPG or a PGP key signing party, I believe. So you might want to look into that. It's on southeastlinuxfest.org, and on the right-hand side, you should see an area for like Birds of a Feather meetings or BOFs. So if you look that up, you should see the key signing party. So you shouldn't miss that, I'm sure. But otherwise, that's it. Self, very soon. See you there. I've done a Hacker Public Radio episode on Git, which is, as you probably know, if you use Linux, sort of Linus Torvalds' version of a versioning control system. He developed it, I guess, for the Linux kernel because he wasn't satisfied with CVS or SVN. I'd gotten kind of interested in Git just because certain projects that I was either trying to download and install or just interested in were using Git, and I kind of had to figure out how to use this whole Git thing in order to get what I wanted to get. So the cool thing about Git is that it's pretty simple for people to use, and I'm not going to rehash how to use it. But in terms of like understanding it, I guess a lot of people, especially people who are kind of used to SVN or CVS, I guess it confuses them sometimes. Git kind of is weird to them. I don't have this problem because I never understood SVN or CVS anyway. All I knew was that when you see SVN, you type in like an SVN command, like SVN anon checkout whatever, or whatever it is, and that's what you do. And then, you know, I never had to deal with committing or taking a snapshot or merging or anything like that. And to this day, I still am not dealing with that. Like I've said many times before, I don't program, so I don't really have anything to commit. I don't have anything to take a snapshot of. I don't have anything to post or merge or anything like that. So it's not that I really need to understand this stuff right now, but it is kind of interesting to me just the way that all this data is organized. And it's always intrigued me, you know, organization of data and how to best organize data so that it can be utilized by different projects, you know, by different people within a project. I run into this situation a lot in video editing, where you've got like maybe three or four editors working really on the same thing, and it all eventually has to merge together again, and it's coming from the same, you know, network attached storage device. They edit it, they have to post their changes, and then it all has to get spliced together into one coherent piece. So the theories are the same, so that's my fascination with it. None of this has to do with anything I'm going to say. My real only point of this whole thing is that Git, there's a great, quote, Git parable. And this is just a blog post that some guy named Tom Preston Werner has posted on his blog the 19th of May, 2009. He wrote a little, really a parable about, like, if you were a programmer with just a basic system, you know, no mention of like the internet or anything like that. It's just a computer with a text editor on it and some file system commands. And now you want to start programming something. How do you go about doing it? How do you go about organizing your data for yourself? And then he mixes in, okay, well, now you've got a second person coming in to work on it. How are her changes and your changes going to be dealt with, you know? So it's like a 10 or 15 minute read, and it's very reader friendly. A parable, you know, it's kind of easy to understand, and it really breaks down the whole theory of specifically the Git versioning control system, but also just of versioning control in general. So I recommend this days away at this point. Post in the show notes, and in terms of LB help, it's just a good, you know, just check it out whenever you get it. Like I say, 10-15 minutes to read it. It's just kind of informative and a fun little read. And it could really help you maybe understand Git if you're having a hard time with it. And this tip I stole from Simon Edwards' blog on Planet KDE. He was the one who mentioned the Tom Preston Verner parable in one of his blog postings. So this is all just my tip to you. Check it out. Last exciting episode of The Bad Apples, I had talked about QTractor, the audio editor that I'm pretty excited about for Linux. Of course, it is still alpha software, and for all my excitement, there are certain things that it just doesn't do yet, or that it doesn't do well, or that it's just not really meant to do. So between all that, there's still quite a lot of room still for the old standby Audacity. And Audacity is probably everyone's de facto waveform editor on actually a lot of different systems. You'd be amazed at how many people have Audacity installed on their computers, at least in the circle of people that I associate with. You know, music makers, filmmakers, audio editors, all these people. It seems like no matter what tool set they've got on their system, Audacity is a part of it. So that's just really cool, and it's part of the advantage of being multi-platform. So, having said that, Audacity is, well, first of all, one should remember that Audacity is technically a waveform editor. Now, it does multi-track editing as well. It's got multi-track functionality, but as you probably know, it's not a super fancy, you know, it doesn't have a super fancy mixing interface or anything like that. Having said that, it has more automation than QTractor has, with the envelope control and things like that. So it's a pretty good little audio editor in its own right, as you probably know. And I think I've done an HPR episode on some of the little tips that I've come up with for Audacity. Things like using I don't know what it's called. I guess it's a wildcard tool where you just, it's all the tools in one so that you don't have to switch between a whole bunch of different tools. That's a really handy one. It's a little asterisk in the toolbar. But this tip that I'm going to do now is actually about eliminating the toolbars entirely. Yeah, when you open up Audacity by default, you've got quite a few toolbars up at the top. And those come in handy, especially if you're totally new to the program. But honestly, they get in the way once you start trying to do a project that gets anywhere near filling up your screen. And with those toolbars, it really minimizes the amount of screen space you have for your project. So what I do is I get rid of all those toolbars. Just go to View Toolbars and just turn them all off. The Control Toolbar, the Device Toolbar, the Edit, the Meters, the Mixer, all that stuff I find pretty superfluous. And they tend to get in my way more than anything. Now, what you need to do to compensate for not having any toolbars, obviously, is go to Edit Preferences and look at your keyboard shortcuts. And as usual, and I don't know why this is, but there's just not as, I mean, there's so many keyboard shortcuts available, and so few of them are actually set, or they're set to something completely strange and something that no serious editor is actually going to try to remember. When you're editing projects, the rule of thumb is to try to have one hand on the mouse and one hand on the keyboard. This is true for practically any you know, quote unquote pro application you come across in any other environment. So it is also true for audio editors and things like that that we've got in the free software world. For whatever reason, they're just not set, or they're not set very well. So what I do is go in and really modify really most of the commands. One of the most essential things in my own mind is that your most commonly used tools are single keyboard commands. Control whatever, shift whatever, all that's alt whatever, that's not going to work. And centering them around the F keys is not going to work. They need to be intuitive to your mind. They need to be similar to the other applications that you use. So luckily, in free software, a lot of times you can set your own keyboard commands. So I tend to set my keyboard commands so that they are similar to one another. The exception to the rule would be Blender, which has really its own set of keyboard commands. But for audio editing, for sure, I modify a lot of the keyboard shortcuts. All the tools should definitely only have a single letter assigned to them. So like for your selection tool, which is that little I-beam, like in a text editor, I use the letter I for that. So if I want a selection tool, I go to I. Easy. The envelope tool, which is the automation tool for the volume and stuff like that, that's E, envelope tool. The drawing tool looks like a pencil or a pen, P. Time shift, the little double arrow, T. The multi-tool, M. Multi-tool, that was the one I was looking for, not wildcard tool, multi-tool, it's the asterisk, but I set that to M. Play and stop, you know, the space bar. Playing loops, I go ahead and assign to L, although I should probably change that, but, because usually L I use for like a fast-forward function, so I really should not be using that for loop, but I guess I don't really use loop very much, so that would be why. So once you have all these keyboard shortcuts assigned to things that you can reasonably remember, you're going to find that your need for the tool's toolbar certainly just goes out the window. Now, the other big toolbar that I used to use was the VU meter, the meter toolbar, which shows you if you have any thing, you know, blowing out into the red. And admittedly, this is a very handy toolbar, but I find that I actually don't need it. I'm pretty conservative with my mixes, and I'm not editing things that have all kinds of crazy sound effects going on, and sound upon sound upon sound. It's me, some music. So that I typically find is not essential. But what I will do is just anchor, not many people realize it, but there's actually a toolbar down at the bottom of Audacity typically as well, showing you the project rate, the selection start, the audio position, the current position. That's a toolbar, and a lot of that space is actually being wasted. And that one I do keep, but further to the right, there's just blank gray space. So you can add your meter or your meter toolbar to that, and really anything else you want. That's the only one that I bother adding to the bottom toolbar, because that's the only other one that I find myself using with any amount of regularity. But that's good stuff. It speeds up Audacity workflow, I think you'll find. I tend to try to stay, I mean, really, if you think about which keyboard shortcuts you need to assign and which ones you need to remember, there are usually only a couple that you actually use on a day-to-day constant basis, and everything else is very often something that it's not going to take you that much longer to go and find it in the menu than it would to, say, find it in a toolbar or try to remember the keyboard shortcut. So really, I just try to get the big ones that I use, which is essentially like tool functions, deleting. I like to have the delete function set to X, because the delete key is just so far up the keyboard on the right that it's just not, you know, a lot of times it's a lot handier for my hand to just hit X, because I have my right hand on the mouse. I don't want to have to take that hand off the mouse to hit the delete key, and I don't want to send my left hand, which is on the keyboard, all the way over to the delete key. So I hit X for the delete. Little things like that. And that'll speed it up remarkably, and make you a faster and better editor. Okay, so just some listener feedback. I've got some emails here. One of them is from Rain from France. Rain sent me a website that I'd never seen before. I guess it's something she stumbled across, and it's really, really cool. It's called rivervalley.tv, or river-valley.tv specifically. And this is a video site, and I don't know where it came from or why it exists, but it's a great little site. It is my new Unix porn. It's just something to watch and learn and, you know, hear about really great ideas. And the the idea is that it's got videos from conferences and tutorial videos and things like that. Very, very technically minded. So you'll see videos from like Blender 2008, SketchUp Basecamp 2008, GNU Hackers Meeting 2008, Math for the Blind 2008, Non-Latin Typeface Design, MIT Museum 2009. You name it, it may or may not be here. But I mean, there's a lot of different, talks from a lot of different conferences. So it's definitely something to check out. So thank you, Rain, for that. That looks really cool. Lost in Bronx wrote me, and turns out that he was on my website the other day and was trying to download episode 401 and 402 and was finding that the links were dead. This only happened for one evening, and the reason it happened was because I wrote the copy and posted it on the site thinking no one ever went to the site, only to find that actually someone did go to the site. So I didn't realize people were looking at the badapples.info. Again, I don't look at my numbers, I don't look at my statistics, so I make weird assumptions. So if you were another person who was trying to download those episodes for a while, I won't do that again now that I know some people do look at the site. It was probably a dumb thing to do anyway, but oh well. But yeah, that would be why it wasn't working for that evening that you might have been trying to download the episodes. Many apologies. Let's see, what else? Oh yeah, Deep Geek has a new episode of Talk Geek to Me. Haven't watched it, haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to very soon. You should too. Myth TV Cast, the third OG cast that I know of. Well, third or fourth if you count Fedora Reloaded as the second or third, but that would be kind of unfair since I did Fedora, and plus they haven't even released an episode in like 9 months or something. But Myth TV Cast is coming out with, has come out with another episode, rather, and even a screencast. So that's kind of cool. Definitely something to look at. Screencasts are always fun because obviously they just they can, you know, show you what they're talking about. It's kind of fun. So that's more video you can watch. So check out Myth TV Cast. I think that wraps up the show for this week. Thanks for listening. My email, if you need to contact me, is klaatu@hackerpublicradio.org. My website, the Bad Apple website, is badapples.info. So check that out for show notes and links and things like that. And thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Right?